Hello, my name is Milt, and I'm the lead pastor here at Birch Ridge Community Church, and I want to personally welcome you as part of our online family. Listen, for whatever reason at all you've joined, welcome, and know that you are loved beyond understanding by the one that we have gathered to worship today, Jesus Christ. I pray that your relationship with him is deepened through this time today. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, may today be the day that you receive him by faith into your heart and life. It's the most important decision that you will ever make. And if you are relatively new to the Birch Ridge online messages, and if you enjoy them, would you consider hitting that little subscribe or like button below this video? Thank you. You're awesome. And if you find value in our online messages and want to contribute financially to this ministry, simply go to our website at birchridge.org and click on the Give Online button at the top of that page. From there, you can give one time or even recurring. So, God bless you as you joyfully commit to what God is doing here. Many times, people want to know what the purpose of a church is. And at Birch Ridge, we want the whole world to know why we exist, and we'll repeat it often so that it stays with us all through the week. So, let's say it together. What's our purpose? Leading people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Very good. Again, welcome home. And may God richly bless you today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Birch Ridge. My name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you're here today as we begin a three-week series called Leading Our Families. We're going to be looking at a few verses from Ephesians chapter 6 today. And so if you have your Bible or smartphone that you use for scripture, you may want to find your place there. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the first three verses. But let me just say from the onset that there will be times in this message where you feel like I'm talking only to men. And you would be absolutely correct. Because I believe with all of my heart, and I believe I'm going to unfold scripture for you that confirms this, that men are God's plan to be spiritual leaders in our community, in our homes, with our marriages, and with our children. I believe that with all of my heart. But ladies, I promise you this. If you'll listen, if you'll engage and listen, I promise you that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you as well. I promise. But in those moments, when you feel like maybe God is specifically talking to men, can I ask you to do me a favor, ladies? Would you pray for the men in your life? Would you pray for the men of this church? Like, can I count you to do that? Because I know some of you are like, it's a message about men, and there's a part of that that is, but I have to believe, ladies, that if the men in this church and the men in your life and in your life becomes more of a man of God, you would be happy to surrender part of a message that's more based towards them. Am I right?
Yes.
Good. So, I want to begin by asking a question, and that is this. What is spiritual leadership? I mean, what does that look like? What is it supposed to look like? We're gonna look at scripture, define that, and we're going to look at a few truths regarding spiritual leadership. And the first thing is this. Write this down. Spiritual leadership is a father's responsibility. Spiritual leadership is a father's responsibility. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse number 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What's that promise? So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Let's pause for a moment there. We as parents love those verses, don't we? Obey. Right? Yeah. Children, obey me. That's what the Bible says. Obey your mom and dad, for this is right. Obey and you might live longer. Right? If you take that however you want, right? Obey and live. Right? But it's just, I mean, it's what it says, right? And so we love that those verses. But we need to understand that children aren't necessarily born obedient and respectful. Right? They're not naturally born obedient and respectful. I mean, if they were, listen, they would sleep when we sleep. You know what I'm talking about? Those with babies, you're like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. If they were respectful and obedient, they wouldn't poop their pants 15 seconds after you put a fresh one on. Right? I remember those days. I'm not that old. My youngest is 28. I still remember. I'm like, what? Right? They're just not. They're not naturally born respectful and obedient. So if our children are going to grow up to be responsible, respectful, obedient, contributing members of our world, our society, our churches, they have to be taught. They have to be taught. So we carry on in verse number 4. What's the first word say? What, read it out loud for me.
Fathers.
One more time, really loud. What's the first word?
Fathers.
Does it say mothers?
No.
Does it? Does it say moms and dads? Okay, this is all going to come together in a nice little package at the end with a bow on it, so don't get mad at me yet. I'm just pointing out some truths. The scripture says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But what's it say? Let's read it together. What's it say? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Please hear me. It is not the school system's responsibility to teach our children to be respectful and obedient. It is not grandpa and grandma's job to teach our children to be respectful and obedient. It's not the daycare provider's job to teach our children to be respectful and obedient. Listen carefully. It's not primarily mom's job to teach the children to be respectful and obedient. According to Scripture, it's primarily dad's job to teach the children to be respectful and obedient. Scripture is very clear. It teaches us in the Old Testament and right here that the primary responsibility for training our children, teaching them, rests with dad. And dads, each and every one of us is going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for the incredible privilege and the incredible responsibility that He has given us to raise our children. Okay? Reality number one. Spiritual leadership is a father's responsibility. Reality number two is this. Spiritual leadership is hard. Spiritual leadership is hard. There's an old Chinese proverb that says it's easier to rule a nation than to lead a family. Now, I've never ruled a nation, but I have had the distinguished pleasure and responsibility and opportunity to be a senior pastor for going on 18 years now. Matter of fact, in just a couple months, I'm coming up on 1 year at Birchridge in August, all right? So, though I have never ruled a nation, I have had the privilege of leading God's church in a senior pastor role for going on 18 years. Over the years, I've led lots and lots of people and lots of ministries. And although church ministry is not easy by any stretch, compared to leading a family, it's a piece of cake. Okay? Part of that is because of God's wonderful grace that He bestows upon me to be able to lead. And part of it is just because, honestly, you're just really easy to lead. Okay? So give yourselves a pat on the back. But Well, most of you. Right? Let me just clarify. Some of y'all are not really not so hard to leave. Anyway. But spiritual leadership, I probably could have left that part out. But spiritual leadership in the home is hard. Like, I can come to work, I can be in my office, and people can come visit me all day long. And they can ask for advice on finances, on their marriage, with their children, with their career, with all kinds of things. And I'll feel like God, you know, and he'll pour through me, and they'll leave that meeting, and they'll be like, Pastor, thank you so much. Man, that helps me so much. That helped me, you know, just all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, right? I'll go home. And I'll offer my wife or my kids, you know, it's like maybe a little bit older, you know, but I'll go home and offer some spiritual advice and direction, and they'll look at me like I got a third eye growing out of my head, right? I mean, it's like, so just for clarity, just because I'm a senior pastor doesn't mean that I have this supernatural power to be a wonderful, awesome leader. Spiritual leadership in the home is hard. Have I said that?
Yes.
Spiritual leadership in the home is hard. The question is why? Why is it so hard? Why is it so easy or much easier to be a spiritual leader to a family of believers and so hard at home? And I think there's an answer, and then I think there's a couple of sub-answers. Okay? The answer is this. This very simply, write this down. Because we've got two enemies that fight against us. Guys, we've got two enemies that fight against us. The first one is Satan himself. The first one is Satan himself. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around." What's that word? I just wanted to throw that in and make sure that Stephen knew that I was paying attention last week. Right, that's a simile. The devil isn't a lion. He's walking around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. Right? Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You know what I've concluded is the number one target for Satan? Dads. Because if he can get dad, if he can take dad out of the game, there's a very high likelihood he'll get the wife and the kids as collateral damage. It's just true. I see it so often. Let me just say this very clearly, make sure there's no misunderstanding. The devil hates you. The devil hates your family. He loathes it. He wants to destroy your family. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's near and dear to the heart of God. You know what's near and dear to the heart of God? To the heart of God? You are. Your family is. And the devil wants to destroy it. So let me ask you this. Men, what would you do if today you gained knowledge? You learned that tonight someone was coming to your house to do your family physical harm. What would you do? Some of you might say, well, I'll call the popo. I'll call the police. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. Might be a good idea. Some might say, I think I would evacuate my family to a safe location. Again, not a bad idea. Some might say, I'll be sitting on the couch with a 12-gauge and getting ready to take care of business. I'm not saying that's a bad idea either. But of those three options, I'm not asking which one, I'm not separating them, but those three options put together, how many, guys, how many of you would be probably likely to take up at least one of those options? Let's see a show of hands. At least one of those options. Maybe all three, maybe two. Right? So now that you've played nicely into my hand. If we are so cool, so tough, so bad, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to protect our family from physical harm, What are you doing to protect your family from the devil, who not only wants to do physical harm, but wants to do eternal spiritual harm to your family? What you gonna do? We sure talk big when it comes to protecting our family against a physical threat, but what are we going to do as men of God to protect families from a spiritual enemy that wants to destroy us? What are you going to do, men? So there's two enemies that fight against us. One is Satan himself, and the second, I just said it, self. Self. Yes. Okay, here's one of those where I'm talking to men, and ladies, you're going to be glad I'm only talking to the men. Okay? Because guys, by nature, we are naturally sinful, lazy, and spiritually apathetic creatures. Okay? Welcome to Birch Ridge, where it's my job to make us feel good about us. Right? By nature, that's who we are. We're sinful, lazy, and spiritually apathetic. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Anybody know what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Anybody? The fall, right? You know, it's where Adam and Eve ate the fruit and caused, you know, sin entered by man, and by sin, sin has entered into all of us. We're all of sin, right? It was the fall. It was the eating of the fruit. Now, I'm going to ask a question. It's not a trick question. You can feel, there's nothing sassy to it. Who was the first one to eat the fruit? Right? Now, a lot of preachers go, that woman you gave me. No, I'm gonna twist things around a little bit. Eve was the first one to eat the fruit, right? My question is, where was Adam? Couple of places. He was either absent, or he was standing by, watching, doing nothing. Apathetic. The only two things I can think of. He's either absent, or he stood there and watched on and did nothing to stop it. And since that time, it's been a trend. Men have either been absent or spiritually apathetic to what's happening with their families. Guys, if we're gonna succeed where Adam failed, we're gonna have to do some hard things. We're gonna have to go against the grain. We're gonna have to swim upstream. We're gonna have to do something different. Einstein says the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and hoping to get different results. Guys, if you want something different than what you've been getting, you got to do something different than what you've been doing. Amen? We got to swim upstream. You can't just get in the boat and I passed 15 boat trailers on the way. They dumped off and they're just going to drift their boats down the Casilla. You can't do that. It's easy. We're going to have to go upstream. We're going to have to do hard things. Guys, that's why we're men, is because we do hard things. Because if it wasn't hard, guys, if it wasn't hard, then anybody could do it and we probably wouldn't be necessary. We're going to have to do some hard things. Spiritual leadership is hard. Spiritual leadership is a father's responsibility. Spiritual leadership is hard. And here's number three. Even though it's hard, spiritual leadership provides an incredible opportunity. Even though it's hard, spiritual leadership provides an incredible opportunity. I believe, struggling whether to say many or most. I think y'all would feel better if I said many, but I believe God's saying to say most. I believe that most men don't fully grasp the enormity of the influence that they have on the well-being of their family, the spiritual well-being of their family. Because we live in a world where I can bring home the bacon, right? Mom, you take care of all that stuff. It just goes against what I just got done teaching. Again, I'm not saying that the ladies can't. I'm just saying God said the primary responsibility for teaching and training up a child and the instruction of the Lord rests with fathers. We just read it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But we live in this day when we think we're macho, we're cool, we're all that, and a bag of chips, and that's mom's responsibility to do all that stuff with the kids. I honestly believe that most men, most husbands, most fathers don't fully grasp the enormity of the responsibility and the impact that they have on the children and their family. I want to share a statistic with you that alarms me, that should alarm all of us. And it's basically this. By the time our children grow up and reach the age of about 20, maybe the second year of college, if they go to college, if not, you know, just that second year of adulthood, somewhere right around the age of 20, 80% of young people stop going to church. Now please don't read anything into this that church is the relationship with God. Just a statistic. By the time children reach the age of about 20 in their adulthood, about 80% of them have walked away from church, attending church. I want us to think about what that really means. That means that unless you and I decide to do something about it right here and right now, within the next couple of generations, the American church will cease to exist, at least in the way that we're used to seeing the American church. Here's the bottom line. Most kids, young people, by the time they reach adulthood, stop going to church. Why? It's another great question. And I want to use another study, if you will, and make a parallel and draw a conclusion for us. There is a study, a statistic, that shows that there is a direct correlation between a father's attendance in church with the family while the children are growing up and children continuing to go to church once they reach adulthood. In other words, what I'm saying is, if dad is engaged and goes to church when he can with the family, there is a very high likelihood that the children will continue to go to church when they reach adulthood. If dad is absent or chooses to be spiritually apathetic and stay home, and that's mom's responsibility to take kids to church, I'm going to stay home, there's a very high likelihood that the children will stop going to church when they enter adulthood. It's just the peril. And I realize what I'm about to say is very politically incorrect. And that should surprise all of you, because you all know that I am very politically correct, right? And it may be offensive. And I'm sure I've never offended any of you yet. Okay? But the reality is this. The father has a much more significant impact on a child's walk with the Lord in the adult years than mom does. By this study alone, just the correlation, 80%. So what does that tell you guys? What does that tell you we're doing? By the time our young people reach adulthood, 80% of them are not going to church. Does that mean 80% of fathers don't attend church with their kids while they're growing up?
Sounds like it.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Here's another study, and I've shared part of this with you, at least part of this with most of you. And I think you'll make the connection there as well. Mother's Day is traditionally a much higher attended church day than Father's Day. Why? Because when you ask mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? The number one answer, survey says, the number one answer is I want us all to go to church as a family. It's the number one answer. Father's Day, next weekend. Number one answer. Dad, what do you want for Father's Day?
I want a tie.
I want a what?
A tie.
A tie. It's not the number one answer. Didn't make the cut. The number one answer is, can I just have a day off? You still hear me? Okay. I just want the day off. Can I just go fishing? Right? Can I go golfing? Can we just stay home from church and just have a grill out? That's the number one answer for men. Now do you see the correlation? By the time our young people reach adulthood, 80% of them have stopped going to church. And there is a direct correlation between dads being absent or spiritually apathetic and children walking away. Now there is another side to that statistic I haven't shared yet, and it's a good one actually, because somewhere in that 18 to 20 young adults, they, you know, like, I have nobody telling me what to do. I'm the boss of me. I'm not going to go to church because I can make that choice. Right? But then something happens around 25. Right? They have babies. They get married and have babies. And they're like, oh, I suppose I better get the kids involved in church. And then they slowly migrate back into the church family. Typically. But it doesn't have to be that way. They don't have to experience 5 to 7 years of desert. Shouldn't have to experience that. Now I know this is kind of a, seems like a blanket statement, but it's not. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush. So let me just make a couple of acknowledgments. Ladies, I know that some of you, maybe dad has been absent. By choice, some by not by choice. Maybe dad has been spiritually apathetic. Maybe there's a sickness, there's a disease. There's a number of things that just keeps me from painting with a broad brush and being superly offensive. And ladies, there's some of you that are just knocking it out of the park. Like you are fit. God is bridging the gap. But God has given you the wisdom, the strength, the stamina, the energy, the courage to do both jobs. I can't even imagine. So thank you. God bless you. And God continue to give you strength and courage and stamina and patience and love. And I know that even in this room, there are incredible men of God. Right? That you're walking so close to the Lord, and that you are amazing husbands and wonderful daddies. I know that because some of you are rubbing off on me. Without knowing it, some of you are rubbing off on me and helping me to become the man of God that I want to. And the husband that I need to be. And the dad and the grandpa that I want to be. Amazing men of God in this room. So thank you. Don't stop. But with all of that being said, we can't turn a blind eye to the reality that cumulatively our country, spiritual leadership, we need help. We need lots of help. And in the weeks ahead, as men of God, we're going to seek Jesus, and He is going to help us to lead our families for His honor and His glory.